Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program, we continue to track the latest developments in a story that has stunned the world. The Prime Minister of Bangladesh, Sheikh Hasina, escapes to India, her future uncertain, after lakhs of protesters drove her out of the country. In a regime change where it appears that the Bangladesh army is notionally in charge. Notionally is the key word. This was no military coup, of course. But what we are seeing in Bangladesh is an effort, possibly led by an interim government with the backing of the army, to bring back law and order, to ensure that murderous mobs disperse, go home, and that there is a return to some sort of order. For us here in India, it's wait and watch. Sheikh Hasina, who remains in India for now until such time as she's granted asylum elsewhere, has been an incredibly strong friend of India and has ensured the protection of minorities in Bangladesh, has accepted India's concerns about China, and has really built the economic relationship between New Delhi and Dhaka. But she was seen to be authoritarian, lost the pulse of the mood of the people she led as a five-time prime minister, and in the end, she was thrown out by a massive uprising. What's next? That's the question. But later on the program, a very special interview with the chairperson of the Indian Space Research Organization, ISRO, on India's space plans and the mission of an ISRO astronaut to fly to the International Space Station very, very soon indeed. All right, well, let's start our panel. I'm joined now by Rumin Farhana, a barrister and advocate of the Bangladesh Supreme Court. Thanks very much, Rumin, for being with us. Arfatul Islam, a multimedia journalist and a Deutsche Welle, a Bengali service journalist as well. I'm joined by Mushfiqul, who is a Washington-based journalist and executive editor of the South Asia Perspectives. Pinak Ranjan Chakravarti, former High Commissioner of India to Dhaka, joins us. And Taufik Imroz Khalidi, Managing Director and Editor-Chief with us as well. Michael Kugelman will be joining us in a short while too. Let me just first go across to Ambassador Pinak Ranjan Chakravarti first. What happens to Sheikh Hasina now? Because the United Kingdom, sir, has made it quite clear that, you know, there's a process and she can't just go over there. Is there any doubt at this juncture where the UK will accept her?
Well, obviously, there is some doubt, because if this kind of waffling by the UK clearly shows that there is some doubt. I believe the US has actually announced that they have cancelled Hasina's visa. So you can see how they are reacting. And that also is an indicator, it's a signal as to the interests that are working behind the scenes. It's clear to us that the UK will follow his master's voice in Washington. But I don't know, because she already has a UK visa, they have not revoked it. And obviously she has family there, because Rehana has been a long-term UK resident. They have probably properties there. One of Rehana's daughter is Tulip, is a Labour MP there also. So I don't know what's going to happen, but clearly they are hedging. I think they don't want her there. Maybe one reason that Tariq Rahman, the vice chairman, who was exiled from Bangladesh in 2007 or 2008, is also living there. So they may be thinking that getting Hasina to London may cause some, I don't know, because UK is already going.
I want to go across to Rumin, who also joins us. Who's in charge, Rumin, right now on the ground? Is the army genuinely in control of developments today, 24 hours after?
Can you ask a little louder? I can't hear you clearly.
Can you hear me now?
Better, a little better.
Who's in charge on the ground in Bangladesh right now, 24 hours after?
Yeah, it is a bit difficult to say now, because yesterday we saw the speech delivered by our army chief, and he made it clear that he is going to take the responsibility. He assumed the responsibility. But yesterday we didn't see any police or any army people on road. Today also I went out. I had some work to do. But I didn't see any police or army person on road. So it is a bit difficult, but the discussion is going on. Probably a small interim government will be formed very soon, headed by Dr. Mohammad Yunus. And there will be other advisors as well for certain. But meanwhile, I think there is a vacuum. But in one way, you can say that since the army chief has already declared yesterday that he is in charge, he is taking the responsibility, And he requested everyone to stay calm, to follow the law and order. I think they are in charge because he assumed the charge or responsibility yesterday.
All right. Arfadul Islam, let me come to you next. The big concern for us over here in India is the condition of Indians in Bangladesh. 19,000 Indian nationals have resided in Bangladesh, 9,000 students, many have returned. But the big worry is the condition of minorities in Bangladesh. Is there systemic abuse of minorities at this stage, violence against them? Because there are some reports which suggest that that is the case.
There are some reports about these incidents, attacks on people and temples of minorities. But at the same time, the UN has already, the European Union has expressed concern and also requested authorities to provide protection to those people. And also, I have seen that a lot of people on social media, they are sharing pictures of guarding all those temples so that nobody can attack them. And all those leaders of this student movement, they are also urging people not to, or protesters not to attack any temples. And instead of attacking, they are asking them to protect them. So there is a huge campaign on social media that I see that many people are trying to make sure that the minorities are safe in Bangladesh at the moment.
Mushfiqul Faza, the new government will have, the interim government, most likely to be advised by the Nobel laureate Muhammad Yunus, who we spoke to yesterday. There is also, of course, been the release from jail ordered by President Shahbuddin of the former Prime Minister Khalida Zia, who was convicted of corruption. In terms of the popular support that Muhammad Yunus enjoys, is it significant enough to sort of bring the mobs at bay?
Yeah, it's very early to make a conclusion, but obviously Professor Muhammad Yunus is a well-respected person globally, global reputed person. Though Sheikh Hasina treated him very badly within the country, and it's a result of a movement, students' movements of people is very expected. So, and the students, they call Professor Muhammad Yunus as their guardian and the nation's guardian as well. So I hope and believe Professor Yunus will be able to do his job. And yeah, so.
Taufiq Ibrahim Khalidi, let me come to you next. What do we know about the army chief, General Wakaruzaman? What exactly do we know about him at this stage? Politically, where does he stand? All right, he's yet to join us at this stage. Rumin, would you like to come in on that?
Yeah, sure. We don't know much about, and I personally, as a political activist, I don't know much about General Wakaruzaman, but obviously he has been appointed by our ex-prime minister, the mafia leader, Sheikh Hasina. So, people have got some question about his political standing, because in this key positions normally Sheikh Hasina appointed his her very trusted person. But before she fled for India, she requested the chief of all the law enforcement agencies like DGFI, NSI, police and army at the same time, that you should protect me because I appointed you, I put my trust on you, I put my faith on you, so you should protect me. At one point of time, they had to say that, sorry, ma'am, we can't anymore, because people's protest is something that just cannot be shut down like that. So in that, from that view, you can say that he was a close person to Sheikh Hasina, but obviously I don't know really, but it's a hearsay that he's an honest man, he's a well-reputed person, these and that, and we already know.
All right, so it's wait and watch. I take the point, Rumin, that you're trying to make, that it is wait and watch. Taufiq Imroz Khalidi, the Managing Director and Editor-in-Chief of BD News 24, with us as well. Mr. Khalidi, a lot of media networks were attacked yesterday. What is the situation today in terms of law and order on the ground and attacks on media stations?
Still, the whole country still is in chaos. I mean, there is no government. Since there is no government, the interim government has not been formally formed. And police have been, I think, dysfunctional. These are not functioning at all. Traffic police, I mean, the role of traffic police has been handed to ANSAS, which is an auxiliary force. And yeah, it's not, I mean, once the government takes over, interim government, whatever government takes over, then I think things will start improving.
Mr. Khalidi, reports of attacks, violent attacks, assaults, pilfering, looting, is that continuing even today?
Yes. Because, you know, there's a lot of money. I mean, a kind of witch hunt started since the fall of Sheikh Hasina, since she left the country. And, you know, a lot of her own supporters are very angry and frustrated that, you know, she left them a lot of money. I mean, she fled the country. She's safe, but they're not safe. They've been attacked by their rivals, whoever they are. And, of course, not all of them are their political rivals. I think a lot of personal scores are being settled in such a situation. That's what happens in our countries, in this part of the world. So things are not good. As part of that, you know, a lot of people are saying that, you know, the Hindu temples are being attacked. It's not just Hindu temples. These incidents of attacks and arson and this looting. I mean, it's all over. It's everywhere. I think it's everywhere in the country. It's across the country. It's happening.
It's absolutely
these
devastating.
Young stars, you know, who are leading India,
Sure.
It's actually devastating. You have to blame it on, you know, you have to blame it on Sheikh Hasina squarely because she mishandled the whole thing.
We will come back to that in a moment. I just wanted to go across to Sumohan Mukund Das. You know, what started out as student protests in Bangladesh ended up with the opposition Bangladesh National Party and the Jamaat-e-Islami quick to join the movement. Would you suggest that at this stage it's hardly about what the original goal was to ensure that quotas, for government jobs cease to exist in particular categories? And it's become a free-for-all where this is a difficult-to-understand political movement, not least of all because we don't know who the leader is or whether there are extremists actually working with political parties. Is that a larger concern? Sir Mohan, go ahead.
Is that a question for me?
No, that's a question for Sir Mohan. Go ahead. All right, we seem to have lost that line with him. Let me go across to... Ambassador Pinak Chakravarti, the same question, sir. Who actually do you believe is doing this? It's more than just a student protest now.
You're absolutely right, Vishnu. It has gone beyond the student protest, which should have died down after the Supreme Court judgment, which actually, you know, removed the quotas or reduced it or whatever the judgment was. But then before that, there were certain, remarks made and the government-supported Chhatra League was unleashed on the students. These were foolish decisions in mind. There was no need to do. The Supreme Court judgment would have, solved the problem. And the genuine students who were there would have gone home. But then that did not happen. And then it gave an opportunity to various people, including the opposition and the Jamaat, of course, the stormtroopers of the Jamaat-e-Islami, the Shibir, I mean. And of course, external forces found it a good... it's no secret that the Americans wanted Hasina out. I mean, you have been seeing this for almost a year.
No, but Ambassador, is there any evidence that we have to suggest that this was there was some sort of foreign intrigue or involvement of agencies in the situation in Bangladesh?
Vishnu, can you ever produce any evidence of CIA or ISI interference?
Well,
have you seen anywhere that such? Have you seen the Maidan Revolution? Any evidence that the Americans were involved?
No, but then how do you know the Americans were involved?
Well, we have our information also that look at the history of how they have been treating, making all these sanctions, visa sanctions, and all these things, and even Hasina herself said and alluded to the kind of conspiracy that was being hatched.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but this is, one has to take that also into account.
Michael Kugelman, would you like to come in on that point? Was this entirely an internal uprising in Bangladesh or was it triggered by external elements? or helped by external elements?
My understanding is that this was a wholly internally driven operation. No, this was a case of peaceful protest breaking out in response to a particular issue, job quotas. It mushroomed into something much bigger and more violent after the security forces cracked down with egregious levels of repression. We had helicopters firing on crowds below. Preliminary investigations indicate that nearly 40 people, most of them peaceful protesters, were killed with shots to the head. So this precipitated such levels of anger that this is what played out. No indications that the U.S. was involved in this. And if I may put it like this, I mean, why would the U.S. want to sponsor an uprising that leads to an outcome that makes it more likely that you'll have a new government eventually in place that is or would want to be closer to China and would not be as willing to work with India? And here I'm referring to the BNP or some ally. So no, I do not believe there was any role of the U.S., any sponsorship of the U.S. This was a spontaneous movement led by the public in Bangladesh. And I should say that it was, my understanding is that it was an apolitical movement. Certainly, there's a very good chance that BNP and their allies may have exploited what was going on, and some of them got involved and engaged in some of the violent acts. But the protest leaders, you listen to them talk, these are not political folks. They're members of the public. Mm. They're aggrieved by many things.
Taufik Imroz Khalidi, this is being seen, and that's what people on the ground were saying, as a movement of independence, of freedom from Sheikh Hasina. Be that as it may, Sheikh Hasina has had a significant impact on Bangladesh's economic growth. The growth story in Bangladesh has been fairly remarkable. The country's managed to maintain an average GDP growth of 6.5%, 6.6% in the last decade. Poverty has decreased from 12% in 2008 to 5% in 2022. The GDP has gone up from 100 billion in 2009 to 460 billion in 2022. With the crisis that we now see on the ground, is there every possibility that, the wonderful story of Bangladesh and economic development may suffer?
Listen, economy grew. Yes, economy grew and the numbers look very nice, fantastic. But so did disparity in this country. We have the fastest growing number of billionaires in this country, according to one American research or think tank, or whatever organization. And all these things happen at the expense of quality of governance. Sheikh Hasina and people started accepting the fact that, okay, fine, we don't have to worry about the quality of governance as long as we have development, as long as we have prosperity, fine. But then I think she went a bit too far in terms of when the quality of governance was becoming the casualty. She went a bit too far. She didn't care. She didn't listen to anyone. And probably there's a bit of a cognitive decline in the last few months or even a couple of years. Because the kind of decisions she was taking, she became arrogant. She was not listening to anyone. She surrounded herself with people who were not very good, were known to be good people. Mm-hmm. They're known to be corrupt people or not really respected. Sheikh Hasina became a person in the end, a person who was feared, not respected. It's true that she had a lot of support. She was very popular when she won the elections in 2008, mm-hmm. in December 2008. She was truly won the election, that huge victory. She was really popular and it continued for about a few years. Then the following three elections were so bad, you couldn't probably call them elections. They're not elections at all. So that's when she started losing it.
Right.
She became arrogant. She decided to prolong her stay in power. She became arrogant. She was not listening to anyone. Her advisors were good for nothing. And she chose people as, for example, the general secretary of the party was not a respectable figure at all.
Right.
People used to troll. I mean, even the party members didn't like him. And you couldn't probably choose someone like for the party like a woman. And he succeeded a person, called Sayyid Ashraf al-Islam, who was respected, widely respected, son of former the acting president of the provisional government in 1971. As a huge contrast, someone like Obaidul Khalid was very unpopular, even as a student leader, couldn't even get probably
Garner. Okay, sir, just give me half a second. I just want to keep the strike rotating. Let me go across to Mushfiq ul Faza. You know, if I'm broadcasting from India, and you know, a crucial aspect of Sheikh Hasina's foreign policy has been in winning India's trust, improving economic ties. She ensured that Bangladesh's engagement with China was tempered, for want of a better word. She did ensure that minorities were protected in Bangladesh. You know, I mean, extremists operating in the northeast of India, she made sure that, you know, people crossing over would be restricted, etc., etc. Does India have reason to worry that whatever formation comes into power now in Bangladesh, the relationship between India and Bangladesh, which has been exemplary for the last several years, you know, that might be impacted?
Yeah, but as a big neighboring country, and as India is claimed the largest democracy in the world, though India itself is in a problematic situation in many ways, but still India is practicing democracy. So India, I hope and believe India will stand beside the aspiration of people of Bangladesh, because last more than a decade, we saw the one-way traffic. Just India is choose one person to build a relationship. So as we know, there's people-to-people contact, which is derailed in the Indian foreign policy, and only Sheikh Hasina got privileged. Still, she's getting privileged from India, where the UK and other countries are not accepting her for asylum because she commit crime against humanity. So if Sheikh Hasina created this problem. As you were talking, the chaotic situation, you have to look behind. It is Sheikh Hasina who invented this chaotic situation. She called up her student week, Chhatra League, and the Jubo League to attack the students, protesters in a befitting manner.
Yeah.
So they did this. And this looting, this chaos, you know, obviously it is anger and frustration of people of Bangladesh for a long time. And it is unexpected. So it is, nobody can justify this kind of looting. But
okay,
we have seen in Sri Lanka
and
other countries when the people, when got their power and when they got their victory, how they reflect and how they express their victory. So it's very simple like
that. I take that point. Ambassador Pinak Chakravarti, you know, hindsight has its problems, but would you say that there is merit in the argument that we put all our eggs in one basket, we backed Sheikh Hasina, she was authoritarian for so many reasons, and that perhaps we should have been a little bit more nuanced or more broad-based in picking who we support in Bangladesh, politically, economically, and otherwise?
It is the false assumptions that we do not keep in touch with other parties in Bangladesh. I know as High Commissioner to Bangladesh that I did it myself. So, you know, it's. But we follow our own interests in the sense that whichever government in Dhaka, whether it's Sheikh Hasina or anybody else, even I remember the caretaker government in 2007, we dealt with them. And we realized that they were cooperative and we could do things together. The first train from Dhaka to Kolkata was run during that administration in 2008. So I think we were looking more at doing things on the ground rather than, you know, taking ideological positions. We have dealt with all governments in Bangladesh, including military dictators. So I don't think that is an issue. So we dealt with Hasina because she was saying, yes, we should cooperate, etc. Now, we were not concerned much about what was she doing internally. That I accept that perhaps we made a mistake and I'm not so sure that we didn't even warn her that, you know, you are making mistakes. No, because we have a good conversation with all of them, including the Bangladesh army. So I think let us not jump to conclusions about different baskets, etc. So we choose a basket when we realize that it serves, the interests of both the countries. Because what we have defined our interests with Bangladesh. But the problem is that, everybody thinks that it's very easy to choose a basket.
Muhammad Yunus is now going to be, the chief advisor, as it were, to the interim government. Arfatul Islam, how is that likely to play out? Here is a man who's been a Nobel laureate on the one hand. On the other hand, there have been serious corruption charges against him as well. He is still very greatly respected. But the question is, who respects him? What about the Jamaat? Would they, for example, respect him? What about extremist elements in Bangladesh? Would they possibly respect him? Does he have that force to actually get people to go home?
One thing I would like to point out here that I would like to, I mean, this morning, you know, this Nahid Islam, one of those top protesters, he said, I quote him here, is, we have decided that the interim government would be formed in which internationally renowned Nobel laureate Dr. Muhammad Yunus, who has widely, who has wide acceptability, would be the chief advisor. So it's clear from this message that the students in Bangladesh, they are very much in favor of him. So they respect him. And also he has a very good reputation internationally. And the corruption charges you were talking about, he is facing it in his country. And he has, I mean, defended himself in many ways. So, and there are like international experts, they also think that those cases are politically motivated. And altogether, I think he's a very brilliant choice by the protesters, because at this moment, they are trying to put an interim government headed by Professor Yunus, and also there are, I mean, even now there has been discussion going on in the President Palace where these student protesters are talking with the President, also with the military. So I think so far they have done a good move by choosing Professor Yunus as the chief advisor. And at the same time, Professor Yunus accepted it in a very short notice. This is also remarkable.
Taufiq Khalidi, as one of Bangladesh's most senior journalists, could you share a few details of the minutes prior to Sheikh Hasina agreeing to get onto that helicopter, the first step towards exiting the country? Is it true that within half an hour after that, you know, her palace, as it were, was stormed? And, you know, I mean, anything could have happened. Was it very tight, or was it controlled, her exit from Bangladesh?
It was with it was closed, but it was also controlled. It was being controlled by the Bangladesh Army. And I've been told by my sources in India that there have been some collaboration between the Indian Army and Bangladesh Army when they were planning safe exit for the outgoing prime minister. So I think the military planned it pretty well. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bangladesh, because all the senior generals were loyal to Sheikh Hasina at the time, and then they ensured a safe exit for the prime minister, outgoing prime minister. She traveled to Bango Bhavan quietly. Handed her resignation letter to the president. That's what the president said. And the president accepted it. And she came back. A military helicopter was waiting for her. And it flew out of her official home, which is called Gonu Bhavan, around that time. You know.
Sure.
And no one actually knew where exactly she was headed for. Then I was told by my sources, diplomatic sources and other people, that either Kolkata or Agartala. Finally, it was learned that she went to Calcutta.
You know, that plane flew right over Kolkata, didn't land. We were following the flight path quite closely indeed. Rumin Farhana, is there a sense that the protesters or whoever it is that is in power will now go after ministers and members of the army who were loyal in a sense to Sheikh Hasina? I do know that one of the key ministers was detained at Dhaka airport. So is there a sense that, you know, you can use the word witch hunt, or there'd be some sort of action to arrest many leaders?
You know, in last many years, in last 15 years, to be honest, the way they have dealt with the people of this country, the corruption, the human rights violation, that has to be dealt with, and they must be brought under justice. So for that reason, yes, some of them are arrested. Cases will be filed against them. Charges will be filed, and they will be tried in the proper court. But I don't support any vandalism. I don't support any arson. I don't support anyone to, you know, take law in their own hands. Obviously, Bangladesh has its own judicial system, and everyone should be tried according to that system. And that's what I believe.
Pinak Chakravarti, is there a problem for India in having Sheikh Hasina in our country presently until such time as her asylum appeals go on? Or are we quite okay with her being here?
Oh, we are quite okay with her being here. She's been here before, if you know.
Yes, after 1975, yes.
Yeah. So it's quite okay. India provides refuge to many people. And I don't have to explain how many people we have taken in as refugees from different countries. So she's probably a refugee also in that sense.
Yeah.
Or an asylum seeker. And we have no problem. I think she'll be allowed to stay, make her own decision where she wants to go. And she's a friend after all. She was a friend. Or she is a friend. And so why should we dump her?
Michael Kugelman, is there a possibility of China taking advantage of the unrest? That obviously has a profound geopolitical impact across the region, not least of all to India.
Well, I hope not. Yeah, I think China, like so many other countries, is very concerned about this chaotic situation and about a number of destabilizing trends. China has assets, it has equities in Bangladesh, for sure. I do think that China is one of the countries that stands to benefit geopolitically if there is a stable, peaceful transition of power, because I suspect that whatever the next government looks like, whenever it comes about, will want to work with China, of course, as the Sheikh Hasina government did. But no, I don't imagine that China would try to exploit things happening in Bangladesh now. One cannot rule anything out. We don't have much of a track record of China meddling in domestic politics in countries in the region, with some exceptions, Nepal being one of the exceptions. Just because it feels it doesn't need to, is typically there's multi-partisan support across the countries of South Asia for a good relationship with China. Obviously, some exceptions like India, but I don't know ultimately. But I think that China's main concern is not to meddle, but to ensure that its people in Bangladesh, that its investments and so on, are going to be safe amid this very unsettled, volatile situation.
Arfatul Islam, we do know that Parliament in Bangladesh now has, in its present avatar, has ceased to function. The role of the president also coming into sharp scrutiny in terms of the road ahead. How soon, realistically, do you believe it will take before we can have elections in Bangladesh?
That's a very tough question to answer, basically, because this interim government, it needs time to organize a free, fair and inclusive election, even though Professor Yunus already said that he sees that whoever come to the power should come through this election, free, fair and inclusive election, something the Bangladeshi opposition parties have been asking for, especially the last three elections are not really free, fair and inclusive. Rather, it was more of we have seen violence, vote rigging in favor of the ruling party, and also like boycotts by the opposition. So to organize a free, fair and inclusive election, it definitely needs time, but we have to see, if it is months or years. But so far, what I see that the protesters are very much in focus of forming an interim government, and the military is helping to make it possible as soon as possible.
Ambassador Chakravarti, last question to you. In terms of the border between Bangladesh and India, the worry about refugees coming across, the potential of violence against minorities, what are some of the core security concerns that we face in our country right now, given the situation?
Well, one is, of course, influx of refugees. And among the refugees, there may be people who are, I don't know. We have had among the refugees sometimes even terrorists sneaking in. And so how do we deal with that? And that is why I think the government has tightened the border and not allowing people without proper checks. Mm-hmm. You must have a visa, etc. Because the porous border is prone to all kinds of smuggling and criminal activities. And of course, human trafficking and others. So I think the worry really is of an exodus. And if that happens, then I think the mood in India is going to be very different.
Yes.
Because we've had so much of illegal migration from Bangladesh. But TK, we have accepted some of it, and they are here, they work, they get Aadhaar cards. But I don't know. I mean, that's why the CEA was brought in. How do you deal with it?
All right. I'd like to thank all of you very much for being with us. The man of the moment, in a sense, is Muhammad Yunus. I'd had the opportunity of interviewing him, where he spoke about how the situation in Bangladesh was akin to a volcano, which was set to erupt unless things were brought under control. He did back the moves very, very strongly on the ground by the protesters and felt that it was good that Bangladesh had gotten rid of Sheikh Hasina. So he's going to play a key role going forward. Does he have the political capital to actually achieve any of that? Here's what he told me yesterday. Joined now by Professor Muhammad Yunus, the 2006 Nobel laureate and founder of Grameen Bank, one of the most well-known Bangladeshi citizens. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Thank you.
I think the biggest worry now is law and order in Bangladesh. We'll talk about politics in a while, but it's law and order and who is in charge. What are your thoughts?
Well, of course, that's a very important issue, law and order. That's where it all began. They completely collapsed, and that's led to the demand for resignation of the government, resignation of the prime minister, and led to that resignation. Today, this is celebration of the kind that we had on 16 December 1971, when we freed ourselves from Pakistanis. And now we got rid of a very totalitarian government. So there's a lot of celebration all over the country, not just the Dhaka city, millions of people out in the street enjoying their freedom, that finally we get free from all those difficulties that we have gone through. So that's we're enjoying it, and we see that a new era is beginning in Bangladesh. Finally got rid of the people who have been torturing them, creating problems for them, and corruptions and everything all over the country. So now,
is it not your worry, sir? Is it not your worry that there would be more instability going forward? One of the points mentioned.
Hopefully, the instability can be packed into a box and keep it there. That's what Hasina was trying to do. Or instability to come out to create a stability, because ultimate goal, ultimate cure, ultimate medicine of stability is to bring democracy that was completely denied in Bangladesh. So for the first time, we'll get a chance to have a real election. That's what the whole idea of having this revolution.
No, but Professor Yunus, the worry also, sir.
A transparent election.
Right, by all means, absolutely. Democracy must thrive in Bangladesh. No two ways about that. But in the interim period, isn't there a real worry that there are Islamist elements and extremist elements in Bangladesh?
All kinds of elements. Of course, any nation.
So that's the problem, sir. Because why would students go and destroy a statue of the father of Bangabandhu, of Sheikh Mujib, which we have on our screen? Are they not being instigated? This was anger against the Prime Minister.
Blame Hasina for that, leading the nation to destroy her father's image. Because she has made so bitter thing for the whole country. They don't mind what they are doing that. It's the responsibility lies squarely on the Prime Minister who did that, made the whole country in that situation.
And do you believe that this interim government, which is now going to be formed, has it in it to actually bring law and order? Because even now, we had a correspondent up just about 3 minutes back. People are looting police stations and making off with weapons.
Yeah. So that's the number one priority, to bring law and order, which Hasina couldn't do. That's why it brought to the point of collapsing of the government. If she could bring law and order, this thing would not happen. So this is the continuation of Hasina regime, that now we have to make sure that the people celebrate and go back and get back to business, get to work, and work in a different way, in a freer way than they have ever done.
What about Hasina herself, sir? She's in India presently. We don't know if she's applied for asylum over here. There were some reports that she might be going off to the United Kingdom. Again, we don't know if the UK has accepted that. What are your thoughts on that? Who might accept her?
I have no idea. You're just talking about having her in India. I don't know whether that would be a good idea.
She's in India now. I don't know if she's going to necessarily be in India indefinitely. And I ask that because there has been no word from the British government as yet, assuming that that's where she was headed.
I have no idea. I'm not in the government. I'm not in the contact with anybody. So I have no idea.
What about the rest of her government? I believe the Home Minister's house in Dhanmundi in Dhaka has been destroyed, burnt. There are other members of our government who would potentially be targeted as well. Is that not a matter of huge concern?
Very good, very much concern. So law and order has to be restored. This is the anger, which accumulated anger that led to it, but it's to restrain, make sure we go back to the normalcy as soon as possible.
But Professor Yunus, the one worry that that so many of us who observe Bangladesh closely hear. Is that the interim might be much more dangerous, must be much more dangerous for Bangladesh. Who is controlling these protesters? Is there an element of terrorists who are involved? Are there other groups looking to create instability in your country? And consequently, from an Indian standpoint, since I'm here in New Delhi, could it not have a regional spillover?
Very much. That's what I've been talking to every single interview that I gave. If you destabilize Bangladesh, it will spill over all around Bangladesh, including Myanmar and Seven Sisters and West Bengal, everywhere. That's why I was very happy that Mamata Banerjee came out with the statement that will open door, because he has to accept those people who are coming out of Bangladesh. Because if it continued months and months, this is what exactly happened. Then not only they'll spill over, they'll bring their anger to all these places where they go, and they will make those their places to attack Bangladesh. So that will not be a very happy situation. And if there's a disgruntled people in those areas, they will mix up with them. It will be a volcanic eruption everywhere around us. And Myanmar shells is coming to Bangladesh very frequently now. So the Myanmar and Bangladesh problem again become bigger,
sure.
Problem, because million Rohingyas are in here. They will like to go back to the country. Unless Bangladesh is a democratically run country, peaceful country, nobody will be in peace. If Bangladesh is in trouble, everybody will be in trouble. There's 170 million people. 2/3 of the population are young people. So you have to make sure that they are happy and they law-abiding citizens and they know there's a democracy. Their democracy has to be practiced. These young people never voted in their life. All these elections, meaningless for them. They never went to the polling booth because those elections never held. So this is the situation that we are starting, our starting point is. Mm. So we have to talk to the young people. Look, it will be in order. Democracy will be practiced and you will be the part of the democracy that you will lead to.
Is there a worry that minorities in Bangladesh, again, in this interim period of chaos, might be targeted systematically?
In interim period, I don't know. But if it is a democratic country, then they have a voice because their voice will count. Like in India, there's a democracy. The minority can go and vote, elect their own representatives.
Yeah. Sir, it's always a pleasure speaking to you. I wish the circumstances
had
been different. Thank you so much, Mohammed Yunus, for speaking with us. Thank you so much indeed.
Okay.
All right. Well, that was an important interview that Mohammed Yunus, the chief advisor to the interim government, perhaps the key civilian involved in the process of sorting out the mess in Bangladesh. That's what he had to tell us yesterday.